do you done.
Good morning. Please turn over to Deuteronomy chapter 1. We appreciate the opportunity to be here with you this morning and this afternoon. And I just want to thank the church for the room that you put us up in. I've never been over there. Usually when we come here, we stay at the Holiday Inn I don't actually know which way it is. But we stayed at the Sauter Village, and the kids really loved it, and just walking around that building and that hotel. So appreciate that very much. And with that, let's turn over to Deuteronomy chapter 1. I want to read a few verses for you, starting in verse 29. And we'll read down through verse 31. It says, "Then said I unto you, dread not, neither be afraid of them. The Lord your God, which goeth before you, he shall fight for you, according to all that he did for you in Egypt before your eyes, and in the wilderness where thou hast seen how that the Lord thy God bare thee as a man doth bear his son in all the way that you went until you came into this place." Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we just thank you once again for the opportunity we have to be here in your house. I thank you for this church. I thank you for our pastor. I thank you for the time we can spend together today. But Lord, I pray that you'd be magnified in these services. Lord, that you get the honor and glory that you deserve. Father, I pray you bless the reading of your words. And I pray that this message would be honoring to you. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Moses here in the book of Deuteronomy is, up to this point in this chapter, he's recounting what happened, the 40 years prior, and how that the children of Israel had refused to go into the promised land. They believed the evil report. And now he's speaking to the children of those that rejected the Lord's command. Now these children are adults. And Moses is reminding this new generation of the consequences that their parents faced from that disobedience. And he's motivating them and telling them that they need to trust God. And now it's time for them to go and enter the land themselves. And in doing so, he's recounting the history, and he describes in verse 31 a phrase that I've been meditating on now for a couple of months, and I would like to bring a message contemplating the thought. And that phrase is in verse 31, where it says, "How that the Lord thy God bear thee as a man doth bear his son, as a man doth bear his son." That word "bear," it carries the meaning of to lift or to carry or to sustain, to support. And the Lord is telling them that the Lord, you've seen how the Lord has carried you as a father doth carry his son, as a father bears his son. And so that's what I want to focus on here this morning, as a man doth bear his son. And so first of all, I want to just notice how the Lord's bearing illustrated in this, as a man doth bear his son. He's reminding them that they've seen how the Lord did this for them over the last 40 and prior to that even years. And first of all, that he did it physically. You think, how does a man bear his son? I have a son now. He's asleep now at the moment, but he's 2 years old. And how do you carry? When they're first born, a child, as an infant, you carry them, right? They're helpless. You have to hold their head up. You have to, they're completely helpless, and a loving father is going to carry them physically wherever that they need to go, or they put them in the car seat and take them wherever they need to go. They are, we carry them as that little child, as that little baby. And however, as they get bigger, eventually, there isn't really that ability to carry them, at least not as easily. Right? Chloe's going to turn 10 in a week, and I don't really lift her up that much anymore. She's getting kind of heavy. And I was thinking this, we were at Clarksville, as Brother Titus mentioned, last week, and I had the opportunity to hold John and Casey's little baby. And I had, you forget how sneaky heavy they are. When they're not holding on to you, they're just little. And you're like, wow, this is light. And then after standing there for a few minutes, it's like, to me at least, and I'm not the strongest person, but like they get kind of heavy after a while because they're not holding on to you. And you forget that. And now, versus when I hold Caleb, who's in his third, you know, in his, you know, around the 30 something pounds, but he's holding on to me when I hold him, and that makes, unless he's asleep, that makes a big difference. You know, and it's, but physically, they would hold, we would hold, you know, a man would hold his son, right? And, you know, the Lord never gets tired, right? There's never anyone that's too heavy for the Lord to carry. Whatever it is, physically, obviously, whatever burden we have, he holds on to his children as a man doth hold his son. He's 100% holding on to us. There's a song that the quartet I had mentioned sung actually almost 20 years ago now, and it's called He'll Never Let Go of My Hand. He'll never let go of my hand. When we think of our walk with God, it's not the fact that we're holding on to him, right? I don't have to hold on to him to keep my salvation. He's holding on to me. He'll never let go. And that's what God's Word teaches. No one will ever be able to take us out of his hand if you're saved. John chapter 10, let's turn there. You probably know where I'm going with this. John chapter 10. Move this over here. And I want to read verses 28 and 29. He says, this is the Lord speaking. He says, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. No one can pluck you out of the Lord Jesus Christ's hand. But then he goes on to say in verse 29, my Father which gave them me is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. So not only is the Lord Jesus Christ holding on to you, but the Father is holding on to you. And he'll never let go. He'll never drop you. He never gets tired. You never get too heavy for him. He's holding on to his children. He's carrying them. He's bearing them as a father does with the son. Many nights, in fact, I did it again last night. I had this thing with Caleb that I'll hold him, and we'll kind of walk around in circles, and we'll sing different songs until he finally falls asleep. And he had fallen asleep in the car on the way here, so it was really tough to get him down last night. But I, you know, would hold him, and we walk around, and we sing songs. Recently, I had to have a hernia surgery about 7 weeks ago now. And with that, you know, I had a weight restriction of lifting more than 20 pounds, which was very hard for me. And my family and everyone around me was very good at making sure that I didn't do that. But I hated it because I couldn't hold my son, you know. And if you're around him enough, you need to get him at some point. He's going to jump off something or climb up on something. But I felt completely useless during that time because I didn't want to mess up, or I couldn't, you know, mess up the surgery and the healing process of that. It was completely useless. That's how I felt during that time. But, you know, I'm glad that, you know, I'm able to do that again. And, but you know, the Lord never has a lift restriction. He never has a lifting restriction. He can always, carry all of his children, and he's all powerful. Look at, Isaiah chapter 40. Isaiah chapter 40 in verse 12, speaking of the Lord, to give an idea of how big he is and how, you know, strong he is. You know this, you likely know this verse. Verse 12 says, who hath measured the waters in the hollow of his hand? You know, how much water can I hold in the hollow of my hand? You know, hardly any. But he can hold the waters in the hollow of his hand and meted out heaven with the span, and comprehended the dust of the earth in the measure, and weighed the mountains and scales in the hills in a balance. He is all powerful. It's hard to fathom how strong that the Lord is, and he'll never have any problem holding his children. And the other thing about physically holding your children, as a father doth bear his son, is that in regards to that, eventually, you know, earthly fathers age. They get older, and they may even need to be taken care of at one point. And that's the way it is. I mean, these bodies, they break down over time. It's because of sin, and they lose their physical strength. It's just a fact of life. But again, the Lord, he never ages. He never loses his strength. He's all-powerful, and he's everlasting, and he's not going to get to the point where, and he's eternal, right? So he'll never get tired, and I'm thankful for that. So as a man doth bear his son. I think of that as physically speaking. And then I also think of it as provisionally. You know, how's a man carry his son? And they'll do everything they can to sustain and to support their son. Father will. They'll make sure that whatever they have to do, they'll do it, you know, to provide for their son. It's a natural desire of a father. They want to take care of their children, of their child. And it kicks into another gear. For, you know, when you have a child, all of a sudden, you want to make sure, like, okay, I got to take these things seriously. I got to take finances seriously and make sure that I'm budgeting and that. I remember when Chloe was born and thinking, I got to get this together. I got to get this stuff together with my money because I wasn't very good about it. My wife would fix it, and it's just not a good place to be. And that'll motivate you because you want to provide for your family. And that's what the father would want to do. They want to provide for their family and give them what they need. And the Lord had always provided for the children of Israel. You think of that 40 years that they spent in the wilderness, and the Lord provided for them the whole time. He says, in all the way that you went, it says that in that verse, in verse 31, as a man doth bear his son in all the way that you went. You think of how the Lord provided for the children of Israel as they were wandering around in the wilderness. Of course, they had disobeyed and they were there, but the Lord still provided for them. We know that he provided the manna. And there's verses here in Deuteronomy. They're throughout there, but I'm going to look at Exodus chapter 16 and how he provided this manna for them. Of course, they were murmuring about it. They didn't have any food. He also, you know, it wasn't just manna. At one point, gave them quails, and that's a whole other account. But it says there in verse 11 of Exodus chapter 16, and the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, I have heard the murmuring of the children of Israel. Speak unto them, saying, at even ye shall eat flesh. In the morning ye shall be filled with bread. And ye shall know that I am the Lord your God. And it came to pass that the evening the quails came up and covered the camp. In the morning the dew lay around about the host. And when the dew that lay was gone up, behold, upon the face of the wilderness there lay a small round thing, as small as the hoarfrost on the ground. And when the children of Israel saw it, they said unto another, it is manna, for they wist not what it was. And Moses said unto them, this is the bread which the Lord hath given you to eat. I always love that manna. Like, what is it? They didn't know what to call it. It's kind of like that one candy bar, whatchamacallit. They didn't know what to call it. And but the Lord, he provided for them. The whole time they were in the wilderness, they never ran out of food. And of course, he gave them guidelines on how to do that, and, you know, how much to collect and what you need for each day, until like the day before the Sabbath, when that'd be the only time that you'd get additional. But he provided for them in all the way that they went. And then, of course, water. They needed water, and they complained about that as well. And I'm not picking on them. I believe that, you know, how many times do we sound like the children of Israel and we complain and murmur about things? And but the Lord always provides for his own, and he always takes care of his children. Again, as a father doth bear his son. So Exodus 17, verse 5 and 6. And the Lord said unto Moses, go on before the people, and take with thee the elders of Israel, and thy rod, wherewith thou smotest the river, in thine hand, and go. Behold, I will stand before thee in the rock of Horeb, and thou shalt smite the rock, and there shall come the water out of it, that the people may drink. And Moses did so in the sight of the elders of Israel. So the Lord, again, he provided that water for them. And so the resources they had, the Lord can provide because his resources are unlimited. He never runs out. He can provide for me. At the same time, he provides for you. At the same time, he provides for all of his children. And he does that in all the way that we go and in all the way that the children of Israel went, he provided for them. In fact, we can read in, and I won't turn there, but you can also read in how he, their shoes and their clothes never even wore out. I mean, he was with them the whole time, providing for them, and even when they were murmuring about it, he provided for them provisionally, and then also protectively. As a man doth bear his son, a father will do everything he can to protect his children, his wife, his family. And they'll make sure that they take and protect that child. And You know, you ever see those little videos, and they call it like dad reflexes, where like a child is starting to fall, and then the dad like reaches out of nowhere and catches the child. You know, I think the Lord gave us that ability. You know, we want to protect our children, and they would, you know, pull them out of danger or something, or maybe there's a car coming, or there's different, you know, videos you can see. But a dad wants to protect his son or his daughters. He wants to protect them. I've never dropped my child. I almost dropped Chloe once. She doesn't remember. She was a baby, but I did not drop her. She doesn't remember that now. I've told her. But we want to protect them. One time, my son, he was 11 months old, and you know, we have the upstairs in the main floor, and somebody left the gate open, and I thought it was the dog running down the stairs, and I saw this flash of red, and at the last second, you know, I was able to grab him before he hit the wood floor at the bottom of the stairs. And that was scary, and we ended up taking him, getting him checked out, and he was fine. But, you know, it was terrifying for Kaylee and I. You know, you want to protect your child, and that's how Caleb is. Many times we just protect him from himself. But that's why, you know, a father wants to protect their children. And the Lord always did that for them, the children of Israel. There were times when the enemies would show up. And look at Exodus 17 in verse 8. There were times when he'd protect them from them. Exodus 17 and verse 8, it says, "Then came Amalek and fought with Israel and Rephidim. And Moses said unto Joshua, choose us out men and go tomorrow and fight with Amalek. Tomorrow I will stand at the rock of the hill with the rod of God in my hand." And you can read on through that. But the Lord protected them from their enemies. And he did that. And that's how a father takes care of his children. And the Lord, and Moses is reminding the children of Israel here, again in our text, that the Lord went with you. And all the way that you went, he protected you. Or he carried you. He bore you as a father doth bear his son. And so he's reminding them of that, because they had seen this provision for them the last 40 years as they waited for that generation to die. But again, he's setting this up, and he's reminding them, this is just remember, because you've seen how the Lord has borne you as a father doth bear his son. And I think we could all do the same. I can look throughout my life. I can look back and see how the Lord has always protected me, how he's always provided for me and my family. And sometimes you don't even understand until you look back and like, wow, look at how the Lord did that. And we need to be sometimes reminded of like when the Lord, he has always provided for his own, and he's always protected me. And it doesn't mean that you don't have problems. It doesn't mean that you don't have financial issues. It doesn't mean that there's not sickness. Those things all happen. But the fact is that the Lord is there, and he never leaves. He never forsakes, and he's always there with and for his children. So the children of Israel were reminded of this before they were encouraged to go into the promised land. So we see the Lord's bearing illustrated. And then we notice, though, that the lack of belief was identified. Look at verse 32. In all this, you know, in verse 31, how the Lord was with them in the wilderness. The Lord bare them as a father doth bear his son in all the way that you went until you came to this place. He never forsook them. He was always with them. And he's reminding them, and it says, yet in this thing, verse 32, ye did not believe the Lord your God. You know, after everything that the Lord did, and we didn't even get into the fact of how they got out of Egypt and all the things that the plagues and the things that the Lord did in the Red Sea and everything that the Lord had done for them. They saw that, physically witnessed what the Lord did in such miraculous ways for them. Yet says, yet in this thing ye did not believe the Lord your God. And the sin here was unbelief. They didn't believe. They were told, this is the land that I've promised you. This is the land that I've given you. And go and take it. And they didn't believe. And at one point they said, well, Moses, let us go out into the land and kind of just get a good strategy of what's going on, what the land's like. And so they did that. And, you know, of course, the 12 spies went out. And I think, though, that they did that in unbelief, because the Lord had already told them, it's yours. Go in and possess it. That they said, well, we want to send some spies in there and check it out. And Moses allowed that. And but then they came back, and of course, 10 of them had the evil report. Said, yeah, it's really nice. It's, look at this fruit that we brought back. Just look how huge it is. We had to carry it with two people. And it's super. It is definitely a land that flows with milk and honey. But we can't do it. We can't do it. They're giants. We're grasshoppers. You know, we're as grasshoppers in their sight. And they were saying, they view us this way. They didn't know how they viewed them. And they were saying, oh, we can't do it. And they didn't believe that God would give them the land. And of course, the consequence was for that, of course, they believed the 10 spies with the evil report, but they didn't believe God. And the consequence was devastating. Verse 33, who went the way before you to search out the place to pitch your tents in fire by night to show you what way you should go, and in cloud by day. And Lord God heard the voice of your words and was wroth and swore, saying, surely there shall not one of these men of this evil generation see that good land which I swear to give unto your fathers. And then, of course, save Caleb and Joshua. But the Lord was angry with them because they didn't believe him. So he said, you cannot go. And what I find amazing about that is, after that, they said, okay, we'll go. Like, yeah, that we shouldn't have done that. We'll go now. And God told them, don't go. You won't have victory. It's not going to go well. And they went anyways, and it was terrible. It was destructive. And they didn't believe God when he told them to go, and then they didn't believe him when they told them not to go. And it was a lack of belief, and the consequences were, they were devastating, and they couldn't go in. And, speaking of the protective instincts of earthly fathers, they actually tried to use that as an excuse to disobey the Lord. Look at Numbers chapter 14, verse 1 through 3. And this is, of course, after that evil report came back from the 10. In Numbers chapter 14, verse 1, it says, and all the congregation lifted up their voice and cried, and the people wept that night. And all the children of Israel murmured against Moses and against Aaron. And the whole congregation said unto them, would God that we had died in the land of Egypt, or would God that we had died in this wilderness? And wherefore hath the Lord brought us unto this land to fall by the sword, that our wives and our children should be a prey? Were it not better for us to return to Egypt? They actually used their wives and their children as an excuse to disobey the Lord. I can't do that because that's not good for my children. And they use that as an excuse. In Deuteronomy 1:39, same thing. He's recounting it. Moreover, your little ones, which said ye said, should be a prey in your children. And then he says, they're going to go in and possess it. And it's a dangerous thing to do. Don't ever use your children as an excuse to disobey the Lord. There's you have to raise them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. But here they are saying, I can't do what you're clearly telling me to do because of my children. I don't want them to get hurt. The best thing that we could do in regards to our children is to obey the Lord. That is literally the best thing that we could do. If we want to protect them and we want what's best for them, we ought to obey the Lord in whatever it is that he's telling us to do. And we had already seen that they had experienced this miraculous provision of manna and water and protection from their enemies. And then again, all of the miracles and things that the Lord did in getting them out of Egypt, but they used their children as this excuse. But Exodus 19:3-5 says, and Moses went up to God, and the Lord called him out of the mountain, saying, thus shalt thou say to the house of Jacob, and tell the children of Israel, ye have seen what I did unto the Egyptians, and how I bear you on eagle's wings and brought you unto myself. Now therefore, if you will obey my voice indeed and keep my covenant, ye shall be a peculiar treasure unto me above all people, for all the earth is mine. And, before that in Exodus 19, but in seeing everything that the Lord had done for them and how he'd carried them, like they would have never been able to get out of Egypt. they wouldn't have been able to. But the Lord did so many miraculous things, and they were able to leave, and yet he provided for them. And yet, after all of that, they said, we can't do it. They were afraid of the inhabitants of the promised land and didn't believe the Lord when it came time to go in there. And on the flip side of not using your children as an excuse to disobey the Lord, you think of these children that now have wandered around the wilderness. Now they're adults, and they've spent their whole lives so far waiting for their parents to die so that they could go into the land. And I often think about, like, Caleb, how he didn't get bitter about that. He had to wait and wait. And Joshua, they were literally rending their clothes saying, come on, we can go into the land. And they didn't believe. And I don't see any bitterness there in them. But those children also could not use their parents as an excuse. Now at this point, now it's time to go in. They can't be, yeah, but my parents didn't do it, so why should I? You know, there's no, you can't blame those around you and use it as an excuse for disobeying the Lord. We're all called to obey Him. We all have the responsibility to do that. And I cannot use the people around me in my upbringing to say, well, I wasn't raised the way that I would, you know, some kids are, so I can't serve the Lord. The only reason that anyone serves the Lord is by His grace, and I understand that. But God provides. He's provided people in my life that have been huge influences on my life spiritually, and many of you know them. And I cannot use my parents. I cannot use the public school I grew up in. I cannot use those kind of external circumstances that I experienced growing up as an excuse to disobey the Lord. Well, I can't do it because of what happened, you know, when I was a kid. I can't do that. And so Moses is here imploring them. You've seen how the Lord has provided you, how He's carried you, how He's lifted you as a father doth bear his son. And you've seen the disobedience of your parents and how they didn't believe the Lord. And now He's saying, but having seen all that, now it's time for you to enter into the promised land. And so we see the life of blessing implored. Look at chapter 4 of Deuteronomy. Chapter 4 in verse 1. With everything that was said, of course I didn't read much of chapter 2 and 3. But with all that in mind and how the Lord did this, it says in Deuteronomy 4 and verse 1, now therefore hearken, O Israel, unto the statutes and unto the judgments which I teach you, for to do them, that ye may live and go in and possess the land which the Lord God of your fathers giveth you. He's reminding them. He's giving you this land. And having me, you know, now that I've reminded you of all of these things and how He took care of you, obey the Lord and go in there. The Lord gives you the land. And he's imploring them to do this. My friend, that the same principle is there for us. I believe that the promised land is the picture of a victorious Christian life. I don't believe it's a good picture of heaven because there were battles in the promised land and there was things like that. And so, but we look at Hebrews chapter 3. We are also implored to, if you've been saved for any period of time, you can look back and see how that the Lord's provided for you, how He's cared for you, and how He's always done what He said He's going to do. And with that in mind, we also need to obey the Lord in whatever it is He's calling us to do. Or if you don't, you know, just obey His word. Do what you know. Obey what His word says. Look at Hebrews chapter 3 and verse 12. It says, but this man, speaking of Christ, after he had offered... Oh, I'm in the wrong... Hold on. Hebrews 3, not Hebrews 10. Hebrews 3, verse 12. Take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God, but exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. For we are made partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our conscience steadfast unto the end. While it is said, today, if you will hear His voice, harden not your hearts as in the day of provocation. For some, when they had heard, did provoke. Howbeit not all that came out of Egypt by Moses, but with whom was he grieved 40 years? Was it not with those that had sinned, whose carcasses fell in the wilderness? And to whom swear he that they should not enter into his rest, but to them that believed not? So we see that they could not enter in because of unbelief. Again, giving this account of the children of Israel and not going into the promised land. Why? Because of unbelief. And how many times we look at what the Lord is commanding us to do, and we say, yes, that sounds great in theory, and that works for brother so-and-so and sister so-and-so, but I don't see how that would work for me to obey in that way. I don't know how that would work. That is unbelief. We have to believe that God, if God says to do something, and he'll bless us if we do that, we need to just obey and do that. And through Christ, we can have that abundant life of victory, and we can serve him, and we can do what he's telling us to do. The Lord, in John chapter 10, verse 10 says, the thief cometh not, but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. You think of the Lord Jesus Christ and everything he's done, and dying, coming and living a perfect life, dying on the cross for all those that will ever trust him as their personal Savior, rising again, and because of him, because of that sacrifice, we can have life. We can be saved, and not only can we have life, but life abundantly. And that doesn't mean that you're going to have the biggest bank account in the world and have everything that you want, but it will be the most blessed life. There's so many more blessings to this life than the tangible things that we can have and touch and feel. But we have to not be guilty of the sin of unbelief. He will provide for his own. He will be with us just like he was with the children of Israel. And you know, if you've been saved, you know, you can look back and see the Lord is always taking care of me. He's always provided for me. He's never going to forsake me. But we need to not be guilty of the sin of unbelief. Don't get to the point where like, okay, I don't want to be fanatical, or I don't want to do that because I just don't see how that would work. That's the sin of unbelief. But we can have life. We can have life abundantly. We can have a victorious Christian life, all because of what the Lord bore, what he carried, what we could never do. You know, at one point, let me look at Psalm 38 and verse 4. It's the Psalm of David, but Psalm 38 verse 4 says, for mine iniquities are gone over mine head, as an heavy burden that are too heavy for me. You know, we know that the Lord can carry us. We know that he can take care of us. How many times do we try to go ahead and live in our own strength, though? And it's too heavy for us. I can't serve the Lord in my own strength. You can't serve the Lord in your own strength. You'll crash and burn trying to do that. But thankfully, the Lord doesn't say that you have to. He says that he will. When I think of how the Lord doth bear his son, what he bore, of course, my mind finally goes to what the Lord Jesus Christ bore on Calvary for my sins. Look at Isaiah 53. Isaiah 53 in verse 4 and 5. I'm not going to read the whole passage. You know this account. But Isaiah 53 in verse 4, it says, surely hath he borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. We see that he bore our griefs. He carried our sorrows. He bore my sin, and he didn't deserve it, but he bore my sin on the cross of Calvary. And 1 Peter chapter 2, 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 21, says, for even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that ye should follow his steps, who did no guile, neither was guile found in his mouth, who, when he was reviled, reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judges righteously, who his own self bare our sins on his own body on the tree, that we, being dead in sin, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed. You know, he bore our sins, all the sins of anyone that will ever trust the Lord as their personal Savior. He bore those sins. We could never pay for them. You can never pay for them. If you die without Christ, you will spend eternity in hell and you'll never be able to pay your sin debt. Only the Lord Jesus Christ could do it. And Hebrews 9:27 says, "And as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this the judgment. So Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many, and unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation." He bore the sins of many, and we're so thankful for that. There's a song that the choir used to sing at Flat Rock. He bore it all that I might live. He bore it all. Do you know him? Is my question for you this morning. Are you trying to carry the weight of your own sin? You'll never be able to do it. It's impossible for you to do it. The Bible says, not by works of righteousness, which we have done. There's nothing that you can do to be saved. But the good news is that Christ, he already did it. He already bore the sins on the cross. And you can trust him today. And child of God, you know what he did for you. You know what he did in Christ dying on the cross to bear your sins. You know that he forgave you. You know that he carries you. You know that he protects you and he provides for you. But we need to obey him and trust him. And just remember, the next time we're looking at a situation and saying, well, I know what the Lord would have me to do here, and you're hesitant because you're not really sure, but you know for sure what God's word tells you to do, remember how that the Lord thy God bear thee as a man doth bear his son. And just know that he'll do it again. He'll do it again. He can provide for his own, and he'll bless that. And let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we just thank you, Lord, for the time we were able to spend in your house this morning. Father, we thank you for your son that you sent to die on the cross for our sins. Lord, and not only that alone was more than we could ever even fathom. But Lord, you allow us, you've placed many of us in a sound church. You've given us your word and preserved it for us. You've given us what we needed to know and how to please you. And Father, you have blessed us so much. Lord, help us not to be guilty of the sin of unbelief in any particular area in our lives. But Lord, that we would just trust you, trust your provision, and know that you're never going to let go of us, Lord. I do pray for the lost that are here today, Lord, that, Lord, if it be your will, that this day they would see their need to trust Christ as their personal Savior, and know that there's nothing they could do, but your son already did it, Lord. I pray you'd save by your grace even this day. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.